Luke chapter 24, verses 50 to 53. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. The second passage is taken from Book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And when he had said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Our series on radical hospitality for the entire year is planned around the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. In Luke, we saw God's hospitality. We saw sermon after sermon how the Lord had favor on the lowly, how he welcomed the outcast, the leper, the tax collector, those who were forgotten, the prodigal. We saw the Lord's amazing radical hospitality as he welcomed us to his table in communion. And today is pivotal as we move from Luke into Acts. And in the book of Acts, it's very much about our act of hospitality to others. To transit us from Luke to Acts, we come today to a very key milestone in Jesus' life, and that is his ascension. Among the gospel writers, Luke is the one who emphasizes a lot on the ascension. He wrote about it not once, but twice. Once at the end of the gospel in Luke, and the second time as he starts off the book of Acts. In fact, today itself is Ascension Sunday. Ascension Day is 40 days after Easter, because in Acts 1:3, we know that Christ stayed on for 40 days after the resurrection. What happened at the ascension? Jesus walked out with the disciples to the Mount of Olives. After they had gathered there, they talked about the kingdom, and Jesus assured them and commissioned them in Acts 1:8. Jesus said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus blesses them, and as he blesses them, he begins to rise from the earth. And the disciples watch on as he leaves them. At the same time, a cloud envelopes Christ and took him from earth to heaven. So the disciples continued watching and looking, and then the two angels appeared to them and spoke with them. This, church, is the ascension of Christ. But the ascension of Christ, I say to us, is not like Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. Or like space travel. The ascension of Christ is not about Jesus who floated to the clouds and went to sit on his throne. There's so much more significance to the ascension of Christ than that physical act alone. The first Russian astronaut was Yuri Gagarin, and in 1961, he was the first man to make it to space. And when he came back down, he said, I looked around in space, and there was no evidence of heaven or God. You see, the wrong thinking, because God is not confined to a physical space or the heavens. In fact, the word heavens in the Bible means the sky and the cosmos. So the ascension of Christ goes beyond the physical dimension, but it is of something much more significant. And I pray this morning we can catch a glimpse of the weight of the ascension. I pray that we can catch the reason for the joy of the disciples when Christ ascended. So Father, we pray this morning for your presence in our midst as you soften our hearts as we hear again of your ascension. Help us to learn the truths of your ascension and to rejoice along with the disciples because you are the risen and ascended Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I've said that the ascension is important, but it's really seldom preached about in church. We seldom hear of the ascension of Jesus Christ. We talk about the birth of Christ at Christmas. On Good Friday, we talk about the... Y'all need lunch. On Good Friday, we talk about the crucifixion. And then on Easter, his resurrection. But we so rarely talk about the ascension of Christ. When was the last time you heard a sermon about his ascension? I was talking with a pastor friend, and he was saying, you know, ascension is a big thing in our church. Then you know what church is from? Church of the Ascension. But otherwise, you seldom hear of the ascension. Why is this so? Maybe, I say to us, when we think of the ascension, we think of Jesus Christ going away. And when you think of someone going away, you don't like to talk about it. Perhaps there is a sense of sadness, tentativeness. But when the ascension happened, I want us to see the reaction of the disciples. We read in Luke 24, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So after the ascension of Jesus at the Mount of Olives, something amazing happened to the disciples. They were filled with great joy. How can this be? They were scared and tentative at first. They were devastated when Jesus said he had to go, but now they have great joy. Usually when someone leaves or goes away, you wouldn't have great joy. You would be sad. I remember when I was posted out of my previous parish at CCR, there were the farewell lunches, different gatherings. The mood was somewhat hopeful but somber. It would be very, very awkward if I learned that after I left, there was great joy. It would be awkward if the church threw a big party and celebration, you know. But something very different about Jesus' ascension caused the disciples great joy. What caused the disciples that great joy? As we examine the ascension of Christ, I will pull the accounts from both Luke and Acts. And just nice, because it's like a bridge as we move from Luke to Acts. And we want to answer this question, what caused the disciples great joy? And today, I will give us 5 reasons that caused the disciples great joy. First, the ascension of Jesus marked the completion of his salvation work. The ascension of Jesus marked the completion of his salvation work. In Acts 1:9, we read, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Jesus ascended into heaven and a cloud took Jesus. It lifted him up. What is the significance of the cloud? God is invisible, but throughout the Bible, how does God make himself known to his people? In the time of Moses, the visible symbol of God's presence was the pillar of cloud that led the people in the day and the pillar of fire by night. When Solomon built the temple, God assured the people of his real presence and the cloud filled the temple. And when that happened, the people understood that the cloud meant that God was present. In the New Testament, remember the transfiguration? When the cloud descended, the disciples immediately recognized that this was God's glory, that God was present. And that's why the cloud is so important in the ascension of Christ. Jesus was taken up by the cloud and received by the cloud, which is a visible symbol of God the Father. So Jesus is sent by the Father and is now received by the Father. So there is a sense of completion. It is all done. Jesus came from the Father and has now returned to the Father. The work is complete. There's the cross, the resurrection, and now the ascension. The work of redemption is done. And because the work is finished, done, completed, Christ can now ascend and sit down at the right hand of God. We read in Hebrews 11, every priest before Christ in the Old Testament stands daily at his service. He cannot sit down, he must stand, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Contrast this with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. And after that, he can sit down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I want us to see and hear the emphasis. The priest offers only the temporary sacrifice every day, so he's standing. Contrast this with Jesus, a one-time sacrifice for our sins, so he sits down at the right hand of God. So the ascension of Christ and his sitting down is symbolic of completion. The work is done. It signified that the final payment for sin has been made. So when we ask what caused great joy in the disciples, the first reason is that it marked the completion. The ascension marked the completion of Jesus' salvation work. It is finished. It is done. Second, Jesus' ascension opens the way to God's heavenly kingdom. Before Jesus, from the time of Adam, all the way to heaven was closed. But now this closed door is open. Some people falsely believe that Jesus became man only for a short while. They thought when God came, saw our human situation, he sent Jesus, and then Jesus put on the human uniform, button up, lift up the human life, and then after the cross, the resurrection, he took out that uniform, put it one side, and became God and only God again. If you believe that, that is a heresy. It is a falsehood. Because Jesus at the first Christmas, when he took on humanity, God became man. And he didn't just take it on for a short time, but he took it on forever. Christ is fully God and fully man forever. So when Christ ascended, he took humanity right into the presence of God. He led the way. In the throne room of God, the Son has a body with scars on it. Jesus paved the way. That's why John Calvin can write of the ascension, and I quote him, he says, Jesus entered into heaven in our human flesh as if in our name. So Jesus leads the way into heaven and we simply come behind him. He paid the penalty of our sins. He died for our sins. He rose and conquered death. So the way to heaven blocked by sin and darkness is now cleared through the finished work of Christ. So Jesus leads the way and prepares the place. And we know of this in John 14. When Jesus was talking about leaving, and when the disciples were all sad, they were in sorrow, Remember what Jesus said? He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because my Father's house has many rooms. And what did Jesus say? He's going ahead of us to prepare a place for us. And then he will come back and take us to be with him, that we may be also where he is. I want us to see this, that Jesus leads the way in the ascension, prepares the place, and we simply follow behind him. We follow him into a kingdom that can never be destroyed or robbed away, for Jesus made it possible for humanity to enter into God's presence. The fully God, fully human, when he ascended, humanity entered heaven. And this is the second reason why there is joy in the ascension, is because Jesus paves the way for us to heaven. The third reason for joy in the ascension is that from then on, after Christ ascended, it means 24/7 access to God through the Holy Spirit. We have access to God all the time. While Jesus was on earth, he was limited by space and time, just like any other human. He was limited by the human body. There were occasions in the Bible that the disciples hoped that Jesus was present with them, but Jesus wasn't because he was somewhere else. Remember when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha lamented, if only Jesus, you were here earlier in Bethany, because Lazarus was already in the tomb for 4 days. They wondered why Jesus didn't come earlier. He was limited by the physical. Remember when the disciples were in the boat, a storm came. Where was Jesus? He was on the land. And then he walked on water, met with Peter, and then calmed the storm. Remember, Thomas had to wait 1 whole week before Jesus came and restored him. My point is this, before the ascension, Jesus was limited by the physical body, and he could only be at one place at any one time. But now, from the time of the ascension, something miraculous happened. Jesus is no longer limited by the physical. He can be with you, with me, with you, 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 you. Everyone, all the time. The irony is this, that Jesus' ascension didn't separate him from the disciples, but it brought him closer, even closer to them than before. Because he can be present with the disciples. He can be present with all of us at the same time, all the time. How? How is this possible? In Romans, we learn that he is present by the Holy Spirit. He works in us and through us. That's why Jesus can say in Matthew 28:20, I will be with you always, always, all the time. And he says it is to our good that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Jesus says, truly I tell you, it is for your own good that I'm going away. For unless I go away, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So only when Christ is glorified, when he ascends the throne, the Holy Spirit will come. There's some divine chronological order. Our God is a God of order. Christ needs to be glorified, ascend, reign on the throne, and then he can send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can come. So the Spirit is sent through Christ. And with this, we have 24/7 access to God. For Christ is no longer limited by the physical anymore. There is access to God through the Holy Spirit. And church, this is the third reason for great joy. The fourth reason is this, that Jesus' ascension points us to his coming again. You see, the disciples were staring as Jesus ascended, and we read they were looking intently up into the sky, and as he was going. And then suddenly two angels, the two men dressed in white, stood beside them, saying, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Do you see the words that Jesus will come back again? And this is the second coming of Christ. When Jesus comes again, our human existence will be redeemed and made new. So the idea is this: each time the disciples look up into heaven, they will see the hope that Christ will return. As you saw him go, he will return. And this gave the disciples that unshakable hope in the future. We caught a glimpse of this at Easter when we spoke of the new bodies to come when Christ comes again. When Jesus comes, we will see creation being reordered, being made new once again. And that is our hope, the hope that we share, the hope that we carry, that Christ will come again. And he will come again in the same way that the disciples saw him go into heaven, meaning Jesus will return personally. It wouldn't be an angel, a proxy in his place, meaning his second coming will be visible. Everyone will be able to see him. It will be physical. He will come in the body in which he was crucified, raised, and glorified. And it will be victorious because salvation is here. When Christ comes again, there will be the new heaven and earth. The pain, the suffering, the meaninglessness, the injustice that people feel and experience will all be taken away. When Christ returns, we can stand up, lift our heads up high, because redemption is here. And that's why, church, there is great joy, because the ascension points us to his coming again. And finally, the ascension gives us a renewed mission. In Acts, we see the two angels, the two men dressed in white. If you paid attention to scripture, they were almost like scolding the disciples for daydreaming. They were, as the disciples were looking into the sky, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Don't you have work to do? Shouldn't you complete the task? Continue the mission of Christ. Don't just daydream. There is a mission and a call." When we think of the ascension of Christ, we don't usually think actually of the ascension of Christ. Who do we think of the ascension of? Ourselves. Ourselves. For we live in a world where people like to climb the ladder and ascend. We dream of the ascension, not of Christ's ascension, but our own ascension. Human nature, sportsmen want to climb, be at the very top of their game. Children, the students want to be top in class. Everyone wants to be on top. Everyone wants to reach for the stars, go into the sky to ascend to the very top. We want to ascend, climb right by ourselves. We want to do our own thing, chase our own selfish glory. But I want us to see that the ascension of Christ overturns all of that. In the gospel, we see the obedient Jesus who faithfully listens to the Father from the time he was sent, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and now the ascension, where the work is complete. Jesus says, "Not my will, but yours be done." It is a surrendering of self to the mission of God. And the ascension marks the completion of that obedience. And that is our call today as well. The mission and call of the church. As Christ ascended, the church must continue the work of Christ. The body of Christ continues the work of Christ. So we must continue his work on earth. Will you keep on looking up into the sky, daydreaming, striving to fight for your own dreams, your life, your career, family, ambition, your mission, what the Lord has for you, me? Or will you choose to roll up your sleeves and do the work of the Lord? Will you take on his mission? Or will you always cling to what you can achieve, what you can do, how you can ascend? Stop looking up into the sky, hoping that things will just happen, take place like that. But I pray that we can hear and know that each one of us, we have a part to play, a mission and a purpose to fulfill. So each time you look up to the sky, don't ask how high, how far, how much you can climb. But I pray that you see the risen Christ with the hands like that. And then you say, I obey you and I will choose to do your will. Throughout Luke, we have seen the hospitality of God. There are the many Singaporean elements of food, meals, houses, traveling. And all of these are expressions, really, of hospitality. They express something significant, that God extends His hospitality, divine hospitality, to the lost, to the broken, to the needy, to the often stigmatized people. Time and time again, since the start of the year, you have heard sermon after sermon where we see Jesus in action, drawing people into friendship with God. For He welcomes strangers, the people who are different, not just the regular church people, the perfect, everything is good people into His kingdom. He welcomes all, and so must we. And the greatest act of hospitality was when God called us into His family. We were once lost sinners, but the Lord rescued us and He brought us into His family. In fact, if you think deeper on the ascension of Christ, Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. So when Christ ascended, what happened was humanity is seated right next to the throne of God. Heaven welcomed humanity. Do you see that beautiful picture? If we never pause to imagine that, think of the hospitality of God. Think of the hospitality of heaven, where heaven welcomed humanity when Christ ascended, fully God, fully man. So today, the body of Christ, we must have a continued mission. We must continue the work of Christ in offering hospitality to people, empowered by His Spirit. Empowered by His Spirit. Next Sunday in the church calendar is Pentecost Sunday, where we will so meaningfully have our confirmation service. And we thank the Lord for 44 being confirmed next Sunday at E2 service. So we will continue to learn, following that, what our hospitality will actually look like as we dive into the book of Acts, as we move from Luke into Acts, from divine hospitality that we have received to what we need to do and give. I shared that when we think of hospitality, we think in terms of space. And I love the definition by Henry Nouwen, where he says hospitality is the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Space. When you think hospitality, think of space. Physical space is easy to give and create. It's very easy for the church, and we have done that, to open up our space. The community comes on board beautifully. Even the otters come. We welcome them. Do we? We do, yes. But the harder thing is the heart space. Sometimes, as we see all this going on, our heart, we have no space for people who are different. We have no space for the stranger to fit in. So my prayer, church, is that as we continue on talking about radical hospitality, we can learn to broaden our space. I'll lead us as we broaden that physical space, that's easier to do. But the harder thing, and the Lord must lead us, myself included, is to broaden our heart space, to welcome people who are seemingly different into our space. And I pray that the Lord will continue to enable and lead us. And the Lord has given us a village, you know, a village in that context to draw in people for His kingdom and namesake. And He will continue to lead the way, to lead us. So today, church, on Ascension Sunday, I say to us, there is great joy. There is great joy because the work of salvation is finished. It's fully completed. We cannot add to it. We cannot subtract from it. It's completed. He sat down. There's great joy, secondly, because Jesus Christ paves the way for us into heaven. He prepares the way. When he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of God. Who is seated? The Christ, who is fully God and fully man. Humanity entered into heaven. It paved the way for the rest of us to come behind him. There's great joy because now there's 24/7 access to God through his Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit who is in us. There's great joy because we look forward when we look up into the sky in the darkest of night, knowing that he will come again and liberation will come. There's great joy and liberation because today you don't need to chase your own mission. You don't need to try to climb the ladder on the clouds, hopping from cloud to cloud, seeking your own ascension. Seeking your own mission. Exalting yourself. You don't have to. You can pursue instead the mission of Christ. You have a renewed mission. You have a renewed purpose. You have a flag to fly. So there is great joy. There's great joy, church, in the ascension because the Lord is with us. Father, I pray this day, on this Ascension Sunday, that you enable your church to walk and follow you in step. Help us this day to know that your work is complete. Help us to marvel at the fact that heaven welcomes humanity. Help us to know that we are not left alone because the Holy Spirit is with us. As we look forward to your coming again, we press on day by day with your grace. Help us in our daily living not to chase our own mission to build that castle in the clouds, striving for, at the end of the day, nothingness. But teach us to look up into the sky and to see your hand of grace and blessing, that each one of us may choose to do your will, the Church of Christ continuing your work, the body of Christ fulfilling the mission of Christ. Father, I pray that we join our hands together for your kingdom work and purpose. So that you lead SJSM, you lead your church forward. As we learn from the Master, radical hospitality. So give us the grace in our hearts and give us love for one another as you broaden that space, both physical and in our hearts, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you join me as we